lots of fun and I've missed out. I don't spend my time chasing fortune, and I've never walked the halls of fame. I don't have a fancy education to put a title by my.
Well, this morning we praise the Lord for Calvary's cross and the birth, which we've been sharing all month of this month, the month of December, the birth of Christ, His death, and then His resurrection. So we are rejoicing this morning that we have been to Calvary, and I can only speak for myself. I hope you've been to Calvary, those that are watching, and if you haven't been to Calvary, maybe today, well, I know that today will be a great day for you to bow and ask Jesus into your heart. Well, it's good to be here this morning, Calvary Baptist Church, right here in Powder Springs. And we hope everybody's had a great Christmas, had a great Christmas weekend. And man, I know that it was frigid on Christmas Day. And for me to say it was frigid, it's pretty frigid. And but nonetheless, we had a great time of just a small group with our family for Christmas Day, And it was a great day, just a time of relaxing and enjoying the Lord and His blessings. And again, we hope that you did the same. I want to mention a couple of announcements, and then we'll mention actually a couple of prayer requests. And then we're going to turn it back over to the ladies for some more singing. But, of course, today is Facebook Live only, and as we mentioned last week. But the good Lord willing, on next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we'll be back in person. And what better time, what perfect timing than to kick off the new year. First Sunday of the new year, January 3rd, next Sunday. Make plans on being with us if you can. And we will also be taking up our Christmas offering at this time. As many of you know, we had at least one case of the coronavirus and in the church. And so that was Miss Mary Rich. And I hear that she's doing better. And But we believe we're in the clear from that. We had a couple others tested that was negative. And so we praise the Lord for that. And so saying that, originally that was going to be our last Sunday morning would have been our Christmas offering. So please make plans, if you would, to be with us next Sunday morning, our New Year kickoff service and Christmas offering. And I'll just go ahead and say again, just so everyone feels comfortable, we encourage actually to wear a mask when we're all back together. That's definitely not mandatory. We couldn't do that, don't want to do that. But that's your choice, and we still have spaced seating in the sanctuary and hand sanitizing stations at the entrances of the church here inside. And so if you've been thinking about coming back, I just want to encourage you that we do have health measures in place, and we're all doing well here that's been meeting. So remember that also, if you've been wanting to get your tithes and offerings to us, but you haven't been in service, just want to say one more time, online you can do that, www.calvaryministries.org. You can mail them into the church or make arrangements by contacting the church office, and we'll make sure they get to the right place. And so we appreciate what you give to the Lord. I said I have a few prayer requests, more than a few this morning, but we'll certainly take a moment and mention some of these requests. I had the chance to speak with Brother Arnold McCrickard the other day, one of our shut-ins, Arnold and Emily. And on January the 5th, Brother Arnold is actually going to have a kidney removed at Emory. So we're asking for the church to help us pray for him, Arnold McCrickard. That's on January 5th, kidney removal. And I believe it's because of cancer. And so let's remember him in prayer. Also, just a special prayer request. I believe friends of the Martins. And there was a terrible house fire in Bartow County Christmas Day. And day after Christmas, the day following Christmas, and so there was one child that did not survive that, I believe, and this child is actually the brother of a classmate of Gracie's. Is that right? And before service, little Gracie sat beside me on the front row and told me about it, and so I appreciate. And it really touched my heart, the sincerity of her heart, how she says she takes care of her classmate. She actually looks after him in some sense, but it was his brother that did not make this house fire. But again, remember this family, the parents, remember classmates of remember Gracie as well in this matter. Very, very, very bad loss. Let's remember this also. Brother David Barker just gave me a prayer request a moment ago for a gentleman, a young man, I believe, Asher, 16 years old. And he's in the hospital battling many COVID. HUV. He's battling COVID, E. coli. Is that right? HUV. And HUV. And so he needs our prayers as well. Let's continue to remember Miss Rita Pearson. And this is the mother of Corey Pearson with the Diplomats, having surgery soon. We're still rejoicing with Brother Jeff Hodges that he's not having surgery. No cancer with his kidneys. Let's also remember Linda Tidwell. This is Ben Tidwell's mother. This is Savannah Matt's grandmother. And she has cirrhosis of liver. Hasn't drank a drop of alcohol in her life. Yet she's battling this. But also I found out that she has Bell's palsy. The same that Brother Allen, our Brother Allen Clayton, is dealing with. His Bell's palsy. She has as well. So let's remember Linda. But let's also remember Brother Allen and his. Miss Terry. Let's remember, again, Miss Mary Rich and her recovery, their household, that no one else has contracted the virus. Let's remember Miss Lauren Hancock's mother, Miss Patty, in our prayers, and Brother Jamie, of course, and Miss Catherine Plemons, her mother. Let's remember her and Ceylon. Let's remember the Teagues and Connie's brother Bill in his recovery process. Miss Claudia Darby has been in some kind of pain lately with her sciatica nerve. She has reached out to me several times. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for Don Capistrano as well, has reached out, and she needs our prayers for her during this time in her life. Barbara Anderson, let's remember Miss Barbara at Powder Springs Rehab. Randy and Diane Ely, his mother, her brother, two different situations there. Ed and Marianne Sanvey. And let's also remember Jeff and Sharon and their son-in-law, Chris, with his physical ailments. And then let's remember Kim Merritt, a friend of ours at Pleasant Hill that is battling cancer. We normally go in depth on Wednesday nights with our prayer list, but there's just so many. I failed to mention much more that's on there. But with those that I mentioned, let's just humbly pray today and ask God to touch these and heal these and provide for these. But nonetheless, we have come to worship, and so let's pray, and then we'll turn it back over to the ladies, and we will worship in song. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. And Lord, we do celebrate your birth. We celebrate your life. And because of that, Lord, by accepting your plan of salvation, your birth, your death, your resurrection, we can have life hereafter. But Father, we lift up all these requests this morning. You've heard the needs. You've heard the situations where the death angel has been, where catastrophe has happened. Lord, where there's many tears this morning, we pray that you'll wipe away every one. Be comforter, be guide, be God in their lives. Help us this morning, help the ladies to uplift you in song. What a great song we've already heard, but I pray you'll continually be with them in their part of the service. Be with our virtual invitation when we have it in a few moments, and the special song we'll have then. And Father, I pray that you'll be with me when I communicate your word to the hearts of your people. Thank you, Lord, for those watching on Facebook today. We pray that you bless them. And if there's someone that doesn't know you personally, let today be the day of salvation for them. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In no other name but the name of Jesus. Amen.
Sometimes in this life, you might get discouraged. You wonder if you're all alone. You're just barely hanging on. Just stop and remember all the things He's done for you. Just look up to Jesus, and He will pull you through. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the today and my tomorrow. I'm not living without you. So I give you every breath. Lord, use me as you will. You made a way when there was no way. I can't help but worship you. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me.
if I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know. You're my Savior, you're my anchor, you're my refuge through the storm. I can't help but speak your name, Lord. We're gonna praise forevermore. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
Well, we lift our praise this morning to the one who's in control. We lift our praise this morning to the one, as Job says, that knows the way that we take. Isn't that a blessing this morning? To know that our fellow man may not know the way we take every day. Some of our family may not even know what we contend with on a daily basis. But our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows the way that we take. And as Job says, after that I'm tried, we'll come forth as pure gold. We praise the Lord that He is up to something today. Thank you, ladies, for the wonderful, wonderful songs. Music with a message is what that is. And He has promised us many things. He is there for us, and we will praise Him for it. This morning, I want to start our message out of Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. Again, thank you, Facebook viewers, for watching, church family. And I tell you, the longer we do this, the more all professional we'll get being live on TV, or at least Facebook. And for a moment, I feel like I was on TBN. But anyway, we have no magic hankies or anything like that. So I have a hanky, but I guarantee you it's not magic. It has no powers. But anyway, We appreciate those watching. This morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 2. And in just a moment we're going to read a couple verses here. But before we read, I want to say that during the month of December we have been speaking only about Jesus. Specifically, we have actually developed a sermon series this month. I knew we would eventually get there with this sermon series. I didn't previously have this in message formed. It was developed week by week. But specifically, we've been talking about this month, God's gift to man. And on the 6th, the first Sunday this month, we talked about the gift out of John 3:16, and we emphasized the fact that God so loved the world. It's really altogether different when you tell somebody, I love you. But then when you say, I love you so much, it really tries to, the person is trying to convey within those two letters, that one word, so, how much a person loves them. And then the next Sunday, we talked about unwrapping the gift. So the gift, and then unwrapping the gift, was on the 13th we preached out of 1 Timothy 3:16. And that basically was Jesus' life in a nutshell. It talked about great is the mystery of godliness, that he was manifested in the flesh. And then that verse went through his life. Last Sunday, of course, we didn't have in-person worship. But last Sunday we had the message, the delivery of the gift, out of Luke chapter 2, verse number 6 and 7. And that was dealing with the actual birth of Christ. And so tonight, this morning, I want to finish this sermon series, God's Gift to Man, by talking about after the gift, or after Christmas. After Christmas. I want you to notice here in Matthew chapter number 2, verse 1 and 2 for a moment. Matthew 2 in verse number 1 and 2. We will go there first. The Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? So he was already born. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I want you to notice that in these two verses, and we've all heard this, the account of the wise men, and I'm really not splitting any hairs or trying to discourage anybody about the nativity scene or anything like that. But when we look at things in the flow of context and the story of how Jesus came, we'll begin to see in this chapter that actually the wise men came after the birth of Christ. And so it was after this gift was given, after Christmas. Notice the Bible says in verse number 1, there came wise men. Now, the other word for wise men, or the Hebrew word for wise men, is the word magi, which is also the word, same word for magician. And these were a group of men, group of people that were astronomers and astrologers, also interpreters of dreams and sorcerers. And so they have heard about this star, and how about the star of Bethlehem that we just seen through this holiday, through Christmas? I think that was pretty amazing. But through scripture and through their astronomy and astrology, they were looking for this star. And so finally, they seen the star and they followed the star. And the Bible says, these wise men in verse 1, that latter part, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And so in all likelihood, they came from Babylon, they came from Arabia, they were looking for the star, they heard about it in Scripture, verse number 5 and verse number 6 bears that out, and so they were coming from afar. I want you to notice as we try to develop this idea that after Christmas, these wise men came. After the gift, these wise men came. Notice another thing. Of course, verse number 2, we read it, but let's read it again. Verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Look in verse number 11. This is when they actually are at the place where the star was at, right above them. Verse number 11 says, "And when they were come into," notice this, the house. They were living in some kind of house. They weren't, this wasn't the manger scene anymore. They're now in some kind of dwelling place. And so we see that they are in some type of house. The verse continues to say, they saw, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. The young child. Now, Scripture differentiates the growing pattern of Jesus. Back in Luke chapter number 2, you don't have to turn there, I'll just give it to you. But in Luke chapter number 2 and verse 16, the Bible clearly says, the babe lying in a manger. And here in Matthew chapter number 2, verse 11, it says the young child. And so there is a growth or a growing taking place. Now, in verse number 16, Herod puts out a command to kill all children 2 years of age and under. Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And so we said all of that to say this, that this particular account in Matthew 2, in all likelihood, took place after Christmas, after the birth, after the gift Jesus was given. These things took place after. They were in a house. He was a young child, and the decree from the command from 2 years of age and under to be killed. So in all likelihood, this was 2 years after Christmas. In fact, a Christmas had already passed until this point. This the second anniversary. This morning, I want to look at these things, and there's actually some things that took place after the gift, and after the gift was given, and these are some things that are relevant to us today. Some things, just three simple things that took place after the gift, and again, these are relevant things for us today that I want to point out. I want you to notice, number one, after the gift, after Christmas, number one, there was a struggle for kingship. A struggle for kingship. Or there was an issue of pride that arose in the land. Notice in verse number one again, we see that Herod was king. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Look at verse 2. Saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, wait a minute this morning. Herod was king. But now these wise men have journeyed from the east and came to where this star was. And now they're asking, where is, verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And I want to say that Herod didn't like that. Herod, in fact, and if you read the next verse, verse 3, was troubled. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I have a feeling that Herod was a dictator. And Scripture bears out that he was a very sinful person. Of course, he was murderous. He killed all the kids from 2 years old and under. He didn't want his kingship to be taken over by any so-called king, much less the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we see that, and as we read these verses from verse to verse, we see that there was this struggle for kingship. In verse 1, Herod was king. The wise men came. Verse 2, in verse number 3, Herod began to be troubled about someone taking his kingship. The news that the wise men brought to Herod about this king of the Jews started to infringe upon his kingdom. These wise men were in his kingly jurisdiction, and they were talking about this new king. And so they were infringing upon what was his. They were infringing upon his kingdom. Therefore, there was a struggle for kingship. I think it goes without saying that we experience the same struggle in our day. There is a growing struggle for kingship within politics. One politic wants to be king over another politic. You know, one governor over another governor. One president over another president. And much of the time within politics, it's being fueled by money, by power, and by pride. You see, Herod did not want to give up his kingship, therefore he struggled from within. And he put out the command to kill all of these children, hoping it would kill the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. But in our day, it's the same struggle. It's politics over the very same issue, pride, not wanting one to rise above the other. It's about money and power. And so this is the same struggle in our day, and we're experiencing it now. We have for months, before November, I mean, before the pandemic even occurred, all the ads and all of the hoopla and all these things that surround, you know, who's going to be president, who's going to be Senate, all the way up to this present day, you'll see on your television politicians cursing and using God's name in vain. What a disgrace that is. I'm going to tell you what that is. That is a struggle for kingship. And very few that run for office and very few that run for position actually care about the people. It's mainly fueled by money and power and pride. There's not only this struggle within politics, this struggle for kingship as Herod struggled because of Jesus, but there's also this struggle for kingship personally. Let me read you what James says about the personal struggle of kingship. James chapter number 4, and I want to read verse number 1 through 3. James 4, 1 through 3. Listen to this concerning the personal inward struggle for who's going to be king. James 4 and verse number 1, James says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even, listen, of your lust that war in your members?" He's talking about our bodies. Verse 2, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, pride, power, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." What strong language James has for us in these verses. James is getting at the core of why there are wars and fightings in our life. And the origin, the core issue is not my brother, it's not my sister, it's not politicians, it's not anything externally, but it's everything internally. He talks about in verse 2, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask. Ye ask not." Then verse 3 talks about we're asking amiss that we may consume some things upon our own lust. And so really James is getting at our motives for wanting things, our desires within our heart. And if we were to break it down and think about it today, on the inside of all of us, even coming to Jesus for salvation, we have an old nature and a new nature. And every day that we live until Jesus comes or we go by the way of the grave, every day that we live, there is going to be this inward battle for kingship. Well, it's everything that I want, Jesus. Jesus, I think I need this in my life. Or I may not even ask Jesus. I may just go and grab after this what I think I might need in my life. Or Lord, you should have opened this door, but you didn't do that, so I'm going to go through that door. Lord, I'm going to make my own way. Lord, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get that. And see, there's this struggle for kingship. But on the inside, how it ought to be, the narrative on the inside of us as believers ought to be verse number 7 of James 4. Because he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, or the King, and he shall lift you up. You see, even today, and dating back to Herod's day, and really back to the Garden of Eden, it's always been a struggle for kingship. Herod struggled, we struggle. And many times, there's those inward battles, and there's war and contention in our life. There's all these things that's taking place, almost like a smoke cloud we go through at times because we think we need this or we want that. And all the while, it takes place on the inside. It's a struggle for kingship. Now, I believe this morning, when it comes to open doors, it comes to wanting things, we ought to pray about everything. But we ought to include the King in our prayers. Lord, will this honor you? Lord, you can see down the road what's taking place. I can't. I can only see right here and right now where bills are due. You know? I can see only right now where I have this physical pain I have to deal with. Lord, I am short-sighted. And so, God, therefore, I include you in my plan to direct my steps for things down the road, since I'm short-sighted and all I can see is pain and all I can see is responsibilities. Lord, I include you in my plan. Lord, I humble myself, verse 10. I surrender myself to your kingship. But you see, Herod wasn't about that. And back in our verses this morning, Matthew chapter number 2, Herod was angry. He was king. It was his jurisdiction. It was his land that these wise men were infringing upon. And again, so many times in life with politicians, with us personally, when it comes to giving Jesus his royal position, the preeminent first place in our life, there are times of struggle for kingship. And so after this gift, after Christmas, there was a struggle for kingship. There's a second thing I see after Christmas, after the gift. Not only there was a struggle for kingship, but there was a preeminence of Jesus. Just a fancy way of saying there was a priority for Jesus. Look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They worshipped Jesus. Evidently, there was a priority for these men to worship the Lord. They heard the scriptures. They read the scriptures. They seen the star. They came. Now they have bow to worship him. He was priority to them. Let me say this before I get into that. The wise men, first of all, worshiped Jesus, not Mary. And we see that Mary, of course, was not mentioned by way of worship, but Jesus was. And I will say that Mary had her part in God's plan, but she was only a part of the plan. Those within the Catholic Church, they bow to Mary. They pray to Mary, Mother of God, and they have the rosary beads, and each bead they run their thumb up after they pray a certain prayer in a certain style. They go over again. They go up again. They go up again. They say all these prayers based upon their rosary beads that they have on their rosary necklace, bowing and praying to someone who was only a part of the plan and not the main part of the plan. You see, these wise men, they worshiped Jesus, the Bible says. They worshiped him, not Mary. Mary can't do away with sins. Mary can't wash away any of our sins. Yes, she was a willing vessel. Yes, she was chosen by God. She has her place. But Jesus is the preeminent one. He had first place in the lives of these wise men. So we see that these wise men, first of all, they worshiped Jesus, not Mary. Let me say this about Jesus and him being worshiped first place and not Mary. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse number 18, this was conversation between Jesus and Peter. He made reference of, and he said, in essence, upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus was speaking of him. He didn't say upon Mary, my beloved mother, whom he did commit to John at the cross. But no, he said upon Peter, upon this rock, Petros, big rock, mass of a rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to say that the church is built upon Jesus. We're to worship Jesus and not Mary. But also in Luke chapter number 4 and verse 8, we see that we are to worship and serve the Lord only. This is what Jesus told Satan. You remember that? We shared that account a couple weeks ago, how that after his baptism, he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And we know that he used Scripture three times. And finally he said, you are to worship the Lord God only and serve him only. And so there was a preeminence of Jesus. There was a priority placed upon Jesus. As the wise men came into the house after this gift was given, and it was to worship Jesus. Now, I keep using that word, preeminence. But the word preeminence was used in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. And that word just simply means first place. It means first place. It means number one. Previous verses in Colossians 1 talk about all things consist by Jesus, the King. All things continue by him. And it goes on and it says that we are to give him the preeminence in all things. First place in all things. And I want you to notice that these wise men, they worshipped him, not Mary, but they worshipped him and nothing else. You see, real worship will cost us something. Real worship is the thing that consumes us. Real worship is the thing that will cost us something. I want you to also just notice, as I say it, the wise men, they came from afar. That cost them something. They brought gifts. That cost them something. And so when they came to worship him, he was their first place. They gave him gifts. They came from afar. And the thing that we worship will always cost us something. There's all kinds of things we can worship. There's all kinds of things that we can idolize and put before God. But they'll always cost us something. Spending yourself putting Christ first is the best investment that one can make. They put Him first. The alternative, investing in things that have no lasting value or fulfillment, there is nothing left. We invest and we give and these things on earth, and we try to worship those things. All those things come to naught over time. So it tells us, the Scriptures do, to lay up ourselves treasures in heaven. But we do see that when it comes to after the gift, there was a preeminence of Jesus. There was a priority. They worshiped Him, not her. And the thing that they were worshiping was the thing that could not be taken away from them. It cost them something. It cost them their time. It cost them money. They brought these gifts, but it was lasting. Let all of us today, after we've celebrated from day one and of this month, all the way through Christmas, which was on Friday, but now after Christmas, let us continue to put a preeminence on the Lord and worship Him. I'm not saying we can't have fun, not saying we can't do other things, but He has our heart. He has our kingdom this morning. So we see a preeminence of Jesus, or a priority after the gift. We see a struggle for kingship, or pride after the gift. And lastly, let me say, after the gift, there was a changed path. There was a changed path, or pathway. Look at verse number 12. He says, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." And we know that when these wise men came, for the sake of time, we're going to summarize. Wise men came and they had a conversation with Herod, and Herod acted like he wanted to know where Jesus was at so that he could worship. Verse number 8, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.'" That was a lie. He wanted to kill him because he was struggling with kingship. But we see that they were warned of God, the wise men, after verse 11, after they entered the house and seen the young child and worshipped him and offered their treasures, then they were warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod. And the Bible says they departed into their own country another way. Now they came to Bethlehem. They came this direction from the east. But now, because of Herod and the dream that they had, they were going back home, but another way. And I think it goes without saying that when you come in contact with the King, you always are changed. From time to time, from moment to moment, from encounter to encounter. First of all, when someone comes to Christ in salvation and meet the King, things change for the better. A life is changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." These wise men came from the east. They met the King and they went home another way. Jesus changes lives this morning. And I'm glad He changed my life. November 19th, 2002. I won't go through the whole story for the sake of time. But I remember that night that I went to Iron House Fitness in Smyrna, Georgia, 2002. And on my way there, my position was that I was not a child of God. I was on my way to a devil's hell. I had no purpose, didn't know what it was. At least I had one, didn't know what it was. That's the condition I came to Christ. But I met the King. I accepted Him and His plan of salvation. And when I left that same night, my destiny changed. My position changed. I went home. While I went to the gym that night, I went there a child of the devil, not a child of God, on my way to hell. But when I came back to my grandparents' house, I was a child of God. And I was on my way to heaven because I met the King. I'll never forget
when I came home from the gym that night, and as y'all can tell, I work out every day. More often at the table than the gym. But I'm working on it. Hang in there with me. I remember coming back from from the gym that night, and I walked up to the door, and my grandmother met me at the door, and she was standing there, and my chin was already shaking. I said, "Mama," I said, "guess what happened tonight?" And she just stared at me. She said, "What is it, son?" I said, "I got saved." And she said, "Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." I said, "I can't describe to you how I feel." I said, "But I know I did the right thing." And I want to tell you, from that night forward, my life began to change. My nieces, my sister, my half-sister, she has four girls. They tried for a boy four times and gave up. She knew of my history. My sister did. My nieces did. They knew I'd come straggling in late at night, early in the morning. My grandma would tell her and all that. But then they started to come over because they heard what happened. And they're all running out of the van and coming up on the porch. And I said, "You know, are you going to church now?" "Yeah, I'm going to church." And they're like, "How in the world could this be?" I said, "Well, girls, the only thing I could tell you is that I tried everything in this life, every high, every drink, every drop." I said, "Now I know. I am satisfied now. I said, I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven." Then I couldn't explain what I felt. I know now it's having peace with God. I said, "But I'm different." I said, "I don't want to go out and do anything like that anymore. I'm going to, in fact, I taught my first time in Sunday school, and I told them that. My sister about had a heart attack." And so God moved into my grandmother's house through my brother and me. And it all went back to when I met the King. And there are those that have helped this morning with ministry through music that have met the King. And I'm sure those that are watching, who've watched faithfully, have met the King, and the Lord has changed your destiny and your desires. We all haven't been a drinker or a drugger, but once you meet the King, things change. Your position changes. And we praise the Lord for all of you who have met the King, but maybe there's some that are watching who have not met the King. And maybe there's been times where you've came in contact with the King by going to church and still went back home and doing the same things. Listen, the life of the believer is not a perfect life. We struggle, but we don't want to do the same things. Maybe you've been in contact with the King through coming to church in times past, but never have been changed. And I just encourage you to do what these wise men did. The Bible says they fell down and worshiped Him. They acknowledged Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. They surrendered to Him. Let me just say that you may be watching and you may already be saved, but maybe there's some things you haven't surrendered to Him. I encourage you to surrender those things this morning. Again, whether it's salvation, bow and surrender your heart to Him for that, or if you're already saved, just bow and surrender those treasures as the wise men did. Each one had a treasure. What's your treasure this morning? Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for who You are, for what You do. God, I just pray that You'll take this sermon this morning that we felt led to preach and use it for Your honor and Your glory. Those that are watching, those that are here, we thank You for them. In Jesus' name, amen. This is our virtual invitation. If you need to pray, you pray.